On today's Compassion Radio.
When you say volunteer, what do you mean by that?
People are doing it out of love for ministry, love for the church, love for helping others. Obviously, they're not paid, but it goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. I'd almost do what I'm doing now, volunteer-based, if I could. My heart's always been in ministry, helping people further themselves, not only in ministry, but in the outside world as well.
What is ministry, really? And who should be doing it? Hi, Bram Floria here with Compassion Radio, the daily journal of God's people in action in times that demand it. We're glad you've tuned our way today. So, you're faithfully involved in your local church. You found a place to plug in, as they say, and are serving, the term we use in the church to talk about getting things done. Should the work and service you do within the church look different than the work you do in the world? Should it be the last bit of energy you have left? Or the first fruits of the strength and focus God has blessed you with? Well, I know I'm leading a little with those questions, but I'm not really throwing down the gauntlet either. The point is simply this. Ministry is a privilege, and it's not just for the paid staff. I think we can all agree on that intellectually. And real ministry doesn't happen in a vacuum either, as you'll hear from today's guest. Even in a time that seems to give us plenty of excuse to not engage, to not serve, to not even show up, I believe there's plenty we can and should be doing to build the kingdom and making it the city of refuge the world desperately needs right now. Okay, time to take you behind the curtain and let the kinds of people who serve you each week tell a little bit of their story. We'll introduce you to one such person today.
On today's program, we have a friend of mine that I have not seen in a lot of years, and then God brought us back together as our roads literally crossed, as God moved us both around into new ministries. Kevin Miller, now of Billings, Montana, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
It's welcome back for me, because you and I have reconnected after many years apart, and we did a lot of ministry in those heady days back in the 80s and 90s, when the freedom of travel and getting around, exploring and discovering what God was up to in so many different countries was just really becoming possible. So, Kevin, you have a heart for worship and for ministry. I want to talk a lot about that today. So let's get started. First of all, tell me what you're doing in the position you have at the church you have.
I'm the program director at Faith E Church here in Billings, Montana. Responsible for all the audio-visual lighting production cues, groups that come through our church, the main point liaison for the technical side and the production side.
Now, I'll poke some fun at you right now, because we've had a couple of conversations with people who study and teach on worship and history, and there's the dreaded smoke machine. Does your church have to deal with those once in a while?
Yeah, we have two of them, actually.
Okay. I won't poke at you too much about that one, because I know that as far as production goes, theater, drama, there's lots of ways to excite the senses when you're in a room. But I know you. This is not how you manipulate people into thinking or believing something. It's an expression of artistic freedom. And it's exciting to have a whole range of arts happening in a church. And it's not something you would just be flashing a smoke pot out of the floor and uprises the pastor for the sermon. So tell me a little bit about the kind of style you do and why it's important that people of your technical skills, because you've trained for this, are so important in churches that are large. And your church does have a lot of attendees each week.
Yes. We average around 800 to 1,000 members a weekend. We do mess around with a lot of the production side, lighting, AV, all that stuff. But the reason we do that is the reason I got into it was, you know, you get into your car, you got a hi-fi stereo system in your car, and then you go into an AM church. And you're not going to connect with a lot of people that way. So we're just trying to maybe up the ante a little bit.
Okay, stop right there. Let's just talk about what AM church means to you. Paint the picture for me. What is it about the experience in a normal church service inside a normal rectangular building that most of us have that you would see as being lo-fi?
Usually we just kind of do the status quo. If it works, great. If people can hear you, great. They don't really care about the mixes. They don't care about the sound quality. They don't care about basically the over quality of the service. Mm-hmm. They just come and do their thing, and then they leave, and then come back the next Sunday and do the same thing over again. There's nothing that excites them. There's nothing that entices them. Also, if you just have one person doing everything, then nobody gets involved with ministry. So it'd all just be, you know, 1% of the congregation is doing 99% of the work. Mm-hmm. So we kind of up the ante a little bit and bring in volunteers and they kind of find their little niche. You know, they find that they do like doing media presentations. They do like doing audiovisual. And then they can take that out in the outside world, do it in more of a professional method.
Yeah, useful skills.
Yeah, they're useful skills. It also broadens them. They do more than just coming to church, sitting down and leaving. They're getting involved. They're plugging in.
Let's wrestle that word a bit, volunteer and volunteerism, because when I think about volunteers, you and I both came from a let's bring a heightened sense of expectancy to the worship and performance arts in the church so that people don't have distractions in their way. Like when I think of volunteers up there doing Sunday morning worship service, I'm thinking half the time is spent doing, is this thing on? Hello? And then getting the feedback going and stuff, having to fix problems constantly because it wasn't cleared out beforehand. Right. I think about the message from John the Baptist saying, I'm here to clear the clutter out of the streets and let Jesus come forward. Everything about the performance arts and technical skills have to do, for me, spiritually speaking, with what John the Baptist did to get the place ready for Jesus to come. Mm-hmm. You get the distractions out of the way.
Yeah.
And I know you have a real solid work ethic on this. So when you say volunteer, what do you mean by that?
People are doing it out of love for ministry, love for the church, love for helping others, that type of thing. Obviously, they're not paid, but it goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. I'd almost do what I'm doing now, volunteer-based, if I could. But I do need to support my family. But my heart's always been in ministry and helping people further themselves, not only in ministry, but in the outside world as well.
How do you find it in your people, or how do you build into your people an ethic of excellence in what they do? Because they're giving you some time, and they think about it being a gift, but you also think about it being an investment in ministry. I do too. When I go to church on Sunday, I want to know that I'm prepared for it and not just there. So they're going to give you 2 or 3 hours a week before the church service even happens to say, I'm available and ready to do the work so that others would not be distracted in encountering Jesus on this Sunday. So how do you build that ethic into your people?
Constant communication. We need to build a relationship with people that we work with. So if you can build a relationship, then it's going to come natural and they're going to be more willing to go above and beyond just pushing a slide through. They're going to build relationship with others and bring people in that way as well. Mm-hmm. Relationship is huge with what I do.
Yeah. And excellent relationships build excellent productivity. I mean, think about that just in the workplace. If you are a good manager of people, you're going to have a good team. Mm-hmm. And everybody in ministry is managing somebody, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
Pastors have to manage the life crises of the entire congregation if they're a one-man operation in a small congregation. You're in a multi-staff environment. Mm-hmm. You've diversified and you specified responsibilities for each person on the team, but then you have to go find the people to help you accomplish the goals that the ministry has set for you.
Yes.
When you look at a person, as you're praying for them, as you're inviting them into the work you do, what are you thinking or praying for those people when you're talking to them about that opportunity?
Just that they build relationships, not only in the church, but build and further the relationships within the home. And when they go to a restaurant or grocery store, et cetera. So just build relationships, concentrate on others more so than what they're doing at that moment. You know, focus long-term, focus big picture type stuff.
Hmm. I think about people sometimes introducing the opportunity to be behind the soundboard or involved with lights or setup or tear down things and saying, don't worry, you won't have to talk to people because it's a behind the scenes kind of job. So if you're afraid of people, don't worry about it. I want you on the team. That seems kind of self-defeatist to me from what you just said about the idea of being on mission, being part of a team that really communicates the spirit and the love of Jesus. So how do you encourage people who are shy?
I keep going back to relationship. You got to make sure that they know that you're there for them, that they're not just another number. They're not just filling a seat. As I heard one person say, you know, meet in the seats type thing. And never treat them like meet in the seats. They're part of the team. If they feel part of the team, they're going to feel valued. And if they feel valued, they're not going to be as embarrassed, I guess, for lack of a better term. Mm.
And I suppose when you're communicating to your people that you really believe in them, you trust them to represent the church well to those who come through the door and to those who may never.
Right.
I'm passionate about that, too. When I talk to the Compassion Radio listeners each day, my expectation is that these are people that, even if they have not yet been this way, want to be at the center of what God's doing in this world, whether it's right there in their hometown or halfway across the planet. And I know you have that same passion. You wouldn't have gone across the country. You left Bend, Oregon to come to Billings, Montana, which for most of us out there would not seem like the center of the universe. And yet it's, of course, a booming community. But you made that move, and you believe it's really exactly where God called you.
Yeah.
So let's jump to that subject. How did you know that this was the place that God was going to use you?
When I was growing up, my pastor said, you know what, try to find peace in what you're doing.
Hmm.
And to try to find that place where you can find peace. And where I found peace was picturing myself on a nest on Niagara Falls as the water's coming down, on a nest, you know, as the water's falling, and just resting there and feeling peace. If I can go to that place and I feel peace in the midst of the trials, midst of the roaring water going right next to me, then I know I'm where I need to be. So when we were making the decision to come here, we obviously we didn't come for the money because ministry, as you know, doesn't pay all that well.
No.
But when I did quit my job in Bend, they offered me nearly a 50% raise to stay. And Sarah and I just felt a peace about not doing that. And we felt a peace about coming here to Billings. It was like no matter what they were going to offer, whether it be twice, three times, quadruple my salary, I knew the right thing to do was to come because I had complete and utter peace about it.
Well, it's not a bad metaphor for what most people have experienced in some regard over the past 14 or 15 months. It seems like there's a torrent of difficulty or uncertainty or danger or just having to outlast something that seems to be going on and on and on. And even if that is not something that is particularly defined for people, they feel it. So all of us in some ways are feeling like we need that nest. Just, Lord, give us a safe harbor. But you jumped into the stream to get there, buddy. You didn't just jump from one nest to the other without complications. You said, God, take me to that nest. It's going to be a journey against the tide, so to speak, at a time when most people are just hunkering down. So why now? Why did God move you in the middle of COVID?
I wish I knew. I just knew. 3 years ago, we were offered a job, or we're going to be offered a job in Billings at another church. And that fell through, and I was devastated because I really felt God calling us to Billings. And to make a long story short, I'm obviously in Billings now, so I got the right city, just the wrong church. So I knew that God was calling us out. We just had to be patient and wait for his timing. There were a lot of tears shed. In making the decision, during, before, and after the decision, a lot of tears were shed.
Yeah, I understand that. The way you frame the story right now is a lot like what I hear from missionaries that have joined so many of these great movements around the world. I ask them why you ended up here, and they'd often say, I have no idea, other than God made it obvious that I was called to this country, to this city, to this place. And I asked them how the family reacted. So I'll ask you the same thing. When you knew that God was going to put you there, how did you frame it to your children and to your wife, and how did they respond, and how did God bring that together so that you knew that God was in it?
When the job was going to be offered 3 years ago at a different church here in Billings, we have five children. All five were dead set against coming here. I mean, they just said they had friends, they had family, you know, they were dead set. There was absolutely no way that they were going to move. One daughter actually said, well, I'm going to move out then. My 15-year-old son said, I'm going to get emancipated, I'm staying here in Bend. It was that severe three and a half years ago. When this opportunity came up, all of them were saying, you got to go. We got to go. So it was kind of a godsend that all five children were all four coming.
The pastors, ministers, deacons, directors, administrators, and all the other devoted professionals that serve us in our churches each week have important faith stories of their own that can really inspire us in our personal faith walk, if we're willing to ask about it and listen. If you haven't made the effort yet to get to know these precious people in your congregation, I hope you'll make the effort to do just that. And don't shy away from learning about and praying for the struggles they face every day. Remember, they're on the front lines for you. It reminds me that we all still face great challenges in the days and months ahead, and that God must be in it with us, or there's really very little reason for real hope. With His help, however, we will get through this. Together. We really need each other if we're going to see victory over fear and all the other enemies to a real faithful living in this world. Please know that we deeply appreciate and value you. You, your prayers, your support, and friendship are what keeps us going. Thank you. Your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you. Thank you for loving us in this way.
my 15-year-old son said, I'm going to get emancipated. I'm staying here in Bend. It was that severe three and a half years ago. Mm. When this opportunity came up, all of them were saying, you got to go. We got to go. So it was kind of a godsend that all five children were all four coming. Now, granted, two of them have moved out, but the whole attitude with them saying, you need to go to Billings was overwhelming. So we knew that.
The blessing was there.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, okay, God, if you can change my family's mind, then obviously you're totally in it. And there was complete and utter peace from Sarah and I most of the time. Granted, there were times when it was really rough, but for the most part, we did feel at peace about coming here this time as a family. Last time, there was a lot of hard feelings, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness 3 years ago.
And that requires you to be responsive to and patient, not because you're trying to drag your family down the road because you want to do something. But as you said earlier, it wasn't really on your radar, but God kept nudging your heart a certain direction. And when we get in the stream of what he's got for us, I believe that nest is under us like a canoe. It has taken us somewhere. I'm glad you found safe haven where you are. Now the question's about when you made the decision to go and God opened the door for you and you found a family that wanted you and could use you and was excited to have you as part of the team. Then you got to deal with all of the, okay, we've made the big decisions. And then you let it go, and then everything else starts up again, and everything starts changing rapidly because you got to get ready to move, and you're trying to communicate and love on your kids and your wife. Tell me about the process of going through those transitions, especially during this year of COVID, and how God led you to be leading them and serving them through that transition.
Well, a lot of that goes back to my wife. She's an organizer to the nth degree. She knows she has a process, and she follows the process from square one to the end result. Without her, this would have never happened. She organized insurance. She organized movers. She organized everything getting here.
Yeah.
She organized and got together, set up, and paid. I mean, without her, we would not be here. So having her on my side was humongo. So it was just huge to get her buy-in from the very beginning, and from what she did from square one was just a godsend. It was amazing.
I'm glad you got a great partner in this journey.
Yeah.
But it has its cost, though, too. I mean, Sandy and I have been going through a number of transitions this past year as well, and so we understand a lot of the ramifications of that. It does take a lot out of you, and I want to speak to those who are going through different kinds of transitions, whether they're moving somewhere or losing jobs or restarting or they can't get to people they want to be with. Those things can be very frustrating along the way, but you still feel like God's moving your life around, and the chess pieces are all in motion at the same time.
Right.
What was God telling you in the midst of the craziness of actually getting ready to follow him to a new field of endeavor?
I kept feeling that I needed to stay focused. Mm. Stay focused on the big picture, not focus on, I'm nearly out of gas, I have no money, but focus on the big picture that you are where God needs you to be, and he will supply your needs when you need them.
Mm.
And to focus more also on that. So not focus so much on the nitty-gritty everyday thing, although that is important, don't get me wrong. But we also need to focus on the big picture when things do get rough, because it will. Just focus on the big picture. You know that you are where you need to be. And just focus on that and concentrate on that, feed on that.
I think about all the good advice I've had over the years that if you follow God's direction, he will provide for you. And, of course, in our minds, we think, oh, great, I'll never have to worry or I'll never have a reason to. And yet you get out there and you put yourself in the stream and stuff starts coming at you you were not expecting. The battles come. Yeah. And the disappointments or the unexpected expenses, if nothing else. A car breaks down or suddenly something happens back at home. The pipes burst from a freeze or something. And you got to deal with all that when you're trying to get out.
Yeah.
You look at that and say, but God was supposed to be providing for me.
Yeah.
And I was counseled again when I was kind of grumping about something years ago. And a pastor friend of mine said, you know what? God promises to provide, but not when you want it.
Yeah.
He'll provide what you need when he knows you need it. And when it serves his purposes in your life, it's not a matter of trusting him to do it the way you want, but it's a matter of trusting him because he's trustworthy, period. And if I don't get it, that's not his problem, it's mine. I can come to him and say, I don't get it, and he will discuss it with me. His spirit will minister to you if you're honest enough to talk with him about it. And I've been learning that discipline over the years myself, just to be real. And if I have a grumpy attitude or I'm out of wavelength with him or I'm out of whack, period, to be honest and say, this is where I really am, Lord. I don't know if it's right or not or if I got it clear or not. What do you have for me? What do I need to know about the situation, these people, this place? It's funny how things start coming to mind you were not expecting because he's so gentle about answering your questions. But he never answers questions that are not asked. I'm learning a lot about that in the years since then. So tell me about the kind of questions that God's been stirring in your heart and how he's answering them now for you and for your family and for this new ministry and church family that you're part of.
Well, the job is rather intensive, so I'm trying to give myself grace and patience to learn what I need to learn. And I beat myself up, and that's one major character flaw I do have is I beat myself up over the little things. So I want to be good. I want to be the best at what I do. But I also need to give myself grace when I do screw up. And the same thing with the kids. When they're not having a good day, I need to be more careful, more kind. And especially to my wife, too, because her and I both definitely want the best for our children, want the best for us together. And many times I find myself focused on something else versus what her needs are, what the family needs are. So that's been kind of pointed out to me lately that I need to be more conscious of that.
Yeah, the tyranny of the urgent doesn't just run away from us when we decide to follow Jesus. We're going to be facing plenty of challenges to the one thing that God wants us to focus on any given day and on the big picture, which, as you were saying, the relationships. We're talking about eternity here, and eternity is built on relationships, not on stuff.
Yeah.
But we have to go through a lot of stuff, material or otherwise, to get to the place where we know that we have dispensed with our responsibilities to the world and to other people, and we are at that place where we're with him. Funny thing about that place, it seems like God tends to show up at the least opportune times. Like, I don't have time for this conversation right now, Lord. I've got to get XYZ done before 5 p.m. today. And God said, you know what? I'm not on your calendar. I'm your God. So can we talk for a second? And I often find myself suddenly slammed with this idea of I have been way off track here for hours because he wanted me to pay attention to this a long time ago. Thank God he's saving me from an accident ahead of me because I wasn't paying attention. How do we pray for pastors and people in your position, my friend? I want you to speak to that because you are in the middle and in the thick of it. You're not just learning the ins and outs of your current congregation, but you have to be up to speed immediately to help them accomplish their goal of communicating effectively to the entire community up there in Billings. But you're also looking forward to dreams and visions of what you can do with the arts in the years to come. So you're right in the center of it. And you're also bearing the responsibility of everybody else's angst over a pandemic and the complications that go with that. So how do we, people that attend every Sunday, whether we're on a ministry team or not, how should we be praying for you guys throughout the week and as we enter the sanctuary on Sunday?
Patience, grace, and peace.
Praying all that for you at one time, huh?
Yeah, all together at one time. Grace, I'm learning more and more about grace. Patience, I need to be more patient with myself. And hopefully people are patient with me.
Yeah.
At the church I'm at currently, they have been very, very patient, very, very gracious. So I'm very lucky to be where I am in Billings here. So yeah, peace, grace, and patience.
I'd throw one more in there, buddy. Joy.
Yeah.
That you would find great joy and enjoyment in the work that you do, and that it's not just a grind. I know there's a satisfaction that comes with knowing you got a job well done, even if you weren't enjoying it at the time. But I do believe that in the middle of it all, there can be great joy. And so I'll be praying that for you especially, because I know you're a high-strung guy when you're under stress, and that's not something that God gave you as a curse. It's something that he gave you as a tool to be able to focus and do things other people might not be willing to step up and do. But it does have its risks. You can get overwhelmed and over-focused. So I'm praying for you because you're my friend, but I'm also encouraging our Compassion Radio listeners to be praying for the people that do the kind of work that you do and their pastors who have to teach and preach and have to bring encouragement week after week and have to sound the alarm bells from time to time about the ways we need to be serving our community at a time when they're all afraid of things they can't see. So it's not that you have your work cut out for you. I believe that God has already cut out the work for us to do during the time, but it's not something we're just punching a clock. The reason you're in Billings and the reason why tens of thousands of pastors and ministers across this country are doing what they do is because they can't see themselves anywhere else and be at peace and have happiness in their hearts. They know that God has made them for this. And as we're praying for people like you, Kevin, I would encourage our listeners again to renew your efforts day by day and speak their names to heaven, so that they know when you walk in the door, just from the look on your face, that you've been praying for them and you believe in what God's going to bring through them this week because they're prayed up.
Yeah.
And that's my call of action today. That's Kevin Miller from Billings, Montana at the Faith Evangelical Church there in Billings, Montana, which of course you go by Faith E, everything electronic now. So I look forward to seeing some of your stream services. I know you're ramping up some even higher quality things as you go along in your job. Yep. But it's so great that we have that opportunity now. You know, crisis forces that on us from time to time. We have to do something different we never would have spent the time or energy to do because we have to. And it's actually opening up new opportunities for churches all across this country to reach people who would never set foot in the church door for any other reason. And now God's literally dumping the worship of their neighbors in their laps on Sunday morning, and people are finding their way in. God's moving people to actually find churches like yours that are making the effort to put quality and clarity out there on the internet so they can discover Jesus at least that way. Thank you for doing your work, Kevin.
Thank you, Bram.
I hope you enjoyed today's journey behind the curtain a bit to see what it's like for people who serve you each week and the kind of dreams they have for you. And remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today. We'll see you tomorrow.